Are you wondering whether or not to invite kids to your wedding? Are you worried how to tell people you aren't inviting kids? Or wondering how to tell people that only certain kids will be there? If so, you definitely want to listen to today's show. Grab a pen, take some notes, because this is one show you don't want to miss. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. It has been a few weeks since our last show, and that's because we're working on a bunch of stuff behind the scenes and also taking some much-needed personal time to recharge and refresh and get back on track. So if this is your first time here, welcome, and thank you so much for trusting me with answering your wedding planning questions. If you're a repeat listener, welcome back. And if this show has been helping you in any way in your wedding planning journey, I invite you to head on over to wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave a review. I also want to remind you, before we get started, that if you are interested in live streaming your wedding, we have partnered with LoveStream, which is a live streaming company that uses your own devices and gives you personalized editing services to give you 10% off any package you purchase with them. So go to lovestream.io and use the code WEDCONNECTHV10. Okay, so now that we've got all that covered, this is episode number 44, and today we're talking about kids and your wedding. At some point, you and your partner will be looking at your guest list, and one of you will inevitably ask the question of whether or not you should invite kids. And it's always a bit of a tricky subject because no matter what answer you give, it's not going to have an easy outcome. So you might say no to kids and then worry about offending people. You might only want a few kids, like, you know, maybe a ring bearer or a flower girl, and then wonder how to tell people kids aren't invited when you clearly will have those kids there. Or what if you do want kids at your wedding? What do you do for the kids while they're there? Or maybe you might run into the issue of one of your guests wanting to come to your adult-only wedding but can't because they lack the proper child care they would need for their child while they're at your wedding. So what do you do? Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore because today's show will answer all those questions and more. To help with this topic, I've chatted with an Atlanta-based wedding planner with over 20 years experience planning weddings and corporate events, who has a phenomenal passion, not only for design, but also for logistics, which is what you definitely want in a wedding planner, and creating memorable experiences. She truly, with all her heart, loves people and loves making people happy. And she knows exactly how to very tactfully handle the delicate subjects such as inviting kids, which has positioned her as a leader in the event industry. Because of this, I knew she was the perfect person to speak to. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Irene Tyndale, Chief Event Officer of Irene Tyndale Weddings and Events.
Hi, Irene. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. And, you know, you've been planning weddings for so long, and I felt like you were the perfect person to have on this show and to ask this question, because one of the things that couples struggle with the most when it comes to their guest list is whether or not to have kids at the wedding, whether or not to invite them. And this is a very divisive subject. So, you know, in broad strokes, what advice do you have for couples who are at that point now when they're looking at their guest list and they're trying to decide whether or not to invite kids?
Well, the first thing I ask my couple when this conversation comes up or when this question comes up is how many collectively, how many children are in your wedding? So let's really break it down, because everyone thinks, oh my God, there's a lot of children. Now, I will tell you, Felicia, that I've had weddings where the bride has called me up and says, you know, between the 200 and something guests, we have 20 kids. And that's when we have to have a serious conversation, because that's a small little army, right?
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, well, a child is someone that's sitting in a seat who can eat by themselves, right? So if they need a high chair, or they're, you know, don't count the baby that's in the stroller or in the car seat, because that baby's going to go from arm to arm to arm to arm, right? That's the reality. They don't need a seat. But someone who needs a seat, so 2+ years old, you know, they'll get chicken fingers and french fries or some fruit cups and things like that. So that's the first thing, like how, sit down and how many kids will be coming, or how many kids are in your family total. And then I say to them, is everyone who's coming, everyone who has children, is that all family? Mm-hmm. And they go, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, so in our case, you know, when my husband and I go to Florida for a wedding, to one of our college friends' weddings, we have built-in babysitters, right? Like we have 2 sets of parents that could take care of the kids, where we could drop them off and go stay and have a great time at this wedding, stay at the hotel. But if we were going to a family wedding, which we've had some up north, you know, we've had some up north, we've had some in the islands. If it's a family wedding, and anyone who could typically take care of the babies is actually invited to the wedding itself, that's when you need to have a really serious conversation as a couple and as a family, right? That's the first thing. Like, who are these kids? Now, if it's your best friend and she lives in another state and there's nobody to take care of her kids, she's going to bring her kids with her, right? So then the other thing is, what do we do with them, right? That's what everyone wants to know. What do you do with these kids, and how do you manage the children? That's always a magic question. And my advice to them is, okay, so I've had families that have nannies, that the nannies travel with them. I've had families where if they're coming to Atlanta and the kids here in Atlanta have a nanny, we just have a conversation with that nanny and say, do you mind taking 1 or 2 more children? Mm-hmm. Or there are some amazing, you know, sitter businesses out there, you know, vendors out there that are phenomenal, where they could take care of the kids at the hotel if they're babies. Or they can come to the church, the temple, the synagogue, wherever we're having the ceremony, and manage the kids who are in the wedding, mm-hmm. and then take them back at the end of the wedding, so they don't have to participate in they don't have to be part of the reception. So there's ways of doing it, but it really is just like as you're making that list, that guest list, of like, oh, you know what, Susie and Johnny have, you know, baby Q. And how old is that baby? You know, that's the situation. You know, that's the main, it's like having that guest list conversation early on and include the entire household, not just the spouses or the boyfriend, girlfriends.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's a great starting off point, because like you said, until you make that guest list and you actually see how many kids are on that list, that right. kind of determines your next step. Because like you said, maybe you just have like 1 or 2, maybe they're young enough where they don't even need a seat and they could just be passed around, you know, on people's laps, or right. you know, you might end up with like 20 kids, you know, so that it all depends, you know, so that's why your guest list is so important. Definitely right. to look right. at first. So, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit, and this kind of leads into my next question. So, you know, one of the dilemmas that many couples face is that they'll say, well, you know, I have kids in my family who I want to be part of the wedding. So maybe they're flower girls or ring bearers. And then they wonder, like, how they can navigate that, because, you know, if they don't want kids and they're, you know, at the wedding, but yet they're having their family, like children in the family, as part of the wedding. What advice do you have for those couples who are trying to navigate that, like, that weird predicament?
The reality is, Felicia, that you're not going to please everyone.
Yeah.
right? And I'm a people pleaser. That's why I'm a planner. That's why I'm in hospitality. I am a people pleaser. And it's never no, it's let me see what I could do. My pleasure. I'll try to figure that out. That's what it is. But in reality, you can be really upfront with people. It's like the only children we're going to have at the wedding are the flower girl and ring bearer. That is it. And now what you can do, again, like I said earlier, is have a sitter come and after the ceremony, maybe after the pleasantries, which is the first hour of the reception, have them there and then have them swept away and taken, you know, taken back to the hotel. Sometimes couples will travel with like their parents, like, you know, who weren't invited to their wedding and that the kids can go back with them, or they were all invited to the weddings and then the, you know, the grandparents take the kids back to the hotel. But it's being really clear to your friends and families who have children, say, hey, the only children that are going to be in the wedding are my niece and nephew who are the ring bearer and flower girl, but they're not planning on staying the whole time. And then you also have to think of what do you constitute a child?
Yeah.
Right? Because a 12, 13 year old, yeah, that's a child. But nowadays, 12 and 13 year olds are like mini teenage, like are mini adults, like mini yeah. millennials, right? And mini college students. Mm-hmm. And they can come to a wedding and behave themselves and have a good time and be in a corner. So yeah. it all depends on the age bracket. And honestly, too, I've had conversations with couples, they're like, well, this set of children are just not well behaved in social settings, and these children are. And I say, yeah, but you can't do that. We can't, and you know, like the divide and conquer, you can't do that because that will cause friction. What yeah. I tell all my couples is that I tell them all the time, use me as your bad guy, because I don't have to sit at Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner and Hanukkah dinner with these people. You do. And they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah, so how you make them feel on this one day, people will carry that over. So it's sensitive. You could say that. You could also offer babysitting services where either you're paying for the service or you're saying, hey, here's a babysitting service that, you know, you're welcome to use. Because if you have people coming into town, you know, Atlanta is a fun place to come to. There's a ton of adult things to do, but there's also a ton of family-friendly things to do. We have the Coke Museum and the Aquarium and Six Flags and, nice. You know, the list goes on and on of what we have fun things to do here in the city in the summer, in the spring, in the fall. It's amazing. So people want to come to Atlanta. So it's like they want to make a trip out of it. They want to make a family vacation. But it's like, okay, well, either we have a babysitter from our church that's available, or we have the service. You could pay for it or they can pay for it. You are giving them suggestions, and you could either put that on your, you know, on your wedding website, or you could do verbiage, but it's just having the honest conversation with your individual guest.
Yeah. And that's a really good point too, because, you know, a wedding is one of those events. It's probably like the only event in your life where people will travel from wherever they are to come to your wedding. And sometimes, you know, that decision is based on whether or not they could find a babysitter for, you know, their kids. If they can't find a babysitter, then they can't come to your wedding. And so offering babysitting services is a really wonderful idea, you know, that the couple can offer, or maybe even like your wedding planner can offer it if they know people, or, you know, it's such a great service to offer, because now, like you said, you're giving that guest an option. Now it's not like, yes, I can't go, you know, yes, I could go, or no, I can't. Now they're right. Like, oh yeah, I can go, and I can make sure that my child is safe and happy and having fun, you know, with a reputable babysitter. So that's a really, really great option. And, you know, weddings are a very adult event, and I can imagine for a child, a wedding could be very, very boring. So if a couple does decide to have children, you know, at the wedding, what are some ways that they could keep them occupied, you know, during the reception and safe? Because, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, if you have kids on the dance floor, that's great. They're having a good time. They're enjoying the music, but there's also a lot of adults around, and, you know, a kid could accidentally be, pushed to the side or have their foot stepped on or something. So how do you keep them safe and entertained at the reception?
It's funny that you would say that, because I love that question, because honestly, and I've been doing weddings for 23, 24 years, and I've never had a child be hurt. Because if we know kids, and little kids especially, they're pretty quick. Right. Yeah. And they're pretty agile, and they like stealth mode. Like, they move faster. Yeah. I sometimes see the adults almost tripping and falling because they turn around too quickly and they see a kid there, or they weren't expecting a kid, you know, like they just kind of get startled. Yeah. But I feel that, I don't know, I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. I've had more issues with adults misbehaving than children misbehaving. Really? In my experiences over the years. Yeah. I had a grandmother one time that, all intents and purposes, everyone said that she had a little dementia. And, you know, to keep an eye on her, like, okay, you just keep an eye on her, make sure she's okay. And she had the food, and we told the service to take care of her, whatever. And, you know, dinner was going on and dinner was almost done. And the groom called over for me, because everyone was kind of almost done eating, vendors were done eating. So I was checking on everybody, because the maitre d' had told me that dinner was wrapping up. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I went in the room and I'm doing my rounds and I'm looking around, and the groom flags me over and he whispers to me, he said, so grandma just stuck her finger in the cake. I said, no. And Irene, no one was looking, and she walked behind, it was a round table, she walked behind the table, she's like walking around the table looking at it, you know, admiring the cake or whatever. He said, and then she stopped right in the back of the cake and swiped her finger on the bottom tier and ate it and looked around, ate it and walked off. And he said he was chuckling. He said no one else saw it. Yeah. The bride didn't see it. Aww. He told me, he's like whispering all this to my ear, and I'm like beet red. I'm trying not to laugh because I'm like, I don't, you know, want it to be. So he goes, go check it out, go check it out. So I walk over there and I see, and I look at him and I'm like, and everyone's always worried about children doing that, right? I've had a child stick their hand in the cake, like they're staring at it because they're looking at it like anticipating for it to be cut. Yeah. But they know if I touch this, I'm gonna be in trouble, right? Yeah. Well, so then I joked and said, grandma knew what she was doing, like she knew what she was doing. But I've had to corral adults more, I've had to scold adults more than I have to have children, because children just kind of use that stern teacher voice and everyone kind of shapes up. Yeah. But what I tell couples though, if they're worried, I mean, you know, unfortunately in the era that we're in now, these kids are attached to the hip to some kind of device, even 2-year-olds, right? And so most families bring some kind of something to entertain them. Some kids do love to dance and love the music and love to be amongst the adults, and they'll do that. But a lot of times what I say, okay, we have 5 or 10 kids. Like just say, sometimes we'll have 5 kids, sometimes we have 10 kids. Of course, we have to feed them well. But what I will say about feeding them is to make sure that your 10 or 12 year old nephew is okay with chicken tenders and doesn't want the filet mignon that the adults have.
Right.
Because the caterers and I always get like, well, I don't want that. Because yeah. I want an adult meal. So I always have a conversation with my couple of, like, my daughter will eat chicken fingers and french fries, but if you gave her salmon, asparagus, and mashed potatoes, she loves that. And she will have it. And my son also, they would love and sit down and eat an adult meal.
Yeah.
But, it's to have like activities for them to do. We've also taken like the cocktail hour space or a separate room or boardroom or something like that. And we've had the TV and we've had games in there. We've rolled in a gaming system. And, you know, there's been times that we've done that separately from the adults, and the kids have their own kind of like reception pizza party type of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, if the space allots it and the children are over a certain age. So I always say, you know, 10 plus, 8 plus, you know, depending on how they mature they are. And they actually like that because they're actually hanging out with all their cousins and other little kids. Mm-hmm. But I also sometimes think, Felicia, that it's the families, the individual family members or the guests who are coming, who can't detach from their children. You know, it's never the kids. It's like, I think if the parent is watching, the kid has a little bit of anxiety. If they're not watching, they might behave better sometimes.
Yeah.
I think, and then I tell people, you know, because I've had people say, well, why an adult only reception? I'm like, because if you really think about it, when was the last time you were able to have a plate of dinner and drink and dance without telling somebody, don't do that, stop that, leave that alone? I mean, I have two. We celebrated every major holiday, every major celebration in my family, you know, hello, a family of a planner, right? So we celebrate just because it's Tuesday. Right. And we're Latin, exactly. So we kind of, we're Caribbean household, so we definitely celebrate everything.
Yeah.
And we celebrate everything, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, you know, in quarantine. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, my couples out there who are planning for 2021 and beyond, be mindful on these guest lists because you're going to get more yeses than nos.
Yeah.
As you know, like you said, this is a one time, you know, unfortunately people get together when babies are born for weddings and deaths. Those are the major times in people's lives that you see a ton of people, like those major things. And your wedding is a one major event in your lifetime that you will have that everyone's happy for the most part, right? Yeah. For the most part, everyone is happy. So you might get more yeses and you might get more people like, well, I don't have anybody to leave the kids with because of what's going on. I don't really trust it. Like, you know, you have to think that sometimes you'll just get one parent because the other parent has to stay home with the kids. So also think of the circumstances that we're in and in these times. And if you're planning on having children, you're going to be there one day yourself.
Right. Exactly. You're going to be in that same spot, invited to a wedding, wondering, oh, can I bring my kid? You know, kids invited. Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like, what is it? Like rolling the dice or you know, what do you call it? Rock, paper, scissors, like who gets to go and who gets to stay home with the kids? Like, right. You know, not fair.
Right, exactly. And yeah, you know, you touch on a couple different things that I think are really cool is, you know, setting up a whole separate area for the kids, you know, with like a gaming station and pizza. Like if I were a kid and that were offered at a wedding, like I would love that. That would be so awesome. I think that's a great, you know, depending on the space and depending on, you know, especially now, like your venue's rules and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if the space allows for it, definitely consider doing something like that, because that would be really fun, really unique. And something, you know, that the parents would be like, you know what, this is really great because I can enjoy myself. I know my child is here. I know they're safe and I know they're enjoying themselves. And, you know, I'm not worrying about, you know, what they're getting into or what they're not doing or, you know, maybe, you know, what they're doing wrong or whatever. I know that they're safe. I know that they're watched and I know that they're having a good time. Oh, so, great. You know, that's a really, really cool idea.
And we've done that and it's been great because we've had, you know, the sitter company come in and they've completely facilitated the whole thing. And then at one point or another, the bride and groom comes in and sees all the kids and says hi, and there's little gift bags. And we've done, you know, depending on the number of kids, we've had it where their individual gift bags are like personalized to them, like for a doll or Legos or a truck or whatever they're into, slime. And yeah. It's really nice because they feel safe and they're close by to their parents, you know, because some parents don't want to leave their kids with a perfect stranger at the hotel.
Yeah.
You know, they would be okay with doing this.
So now, you know, we've been talking about different ways that, you know, couples can navigate the situation. And so if a couple, you know, we just talked about what couples can do if they do want kids at the wedding, but what if a couple doesn't? What are some ways that they can word that on the invitation? You know, we discussed earlier about, you know, being very tactful and being, you know, very careful in the way that you present this to your guest. You know, you can't pick right. and choose, like, you know, oh, your kids are, you know, so misbehaved, but, you know, yours are fine. So, you know, you guys can come. Like, you can't pick or choose. It's all or nothing. Right. So if a couple decides that they really don't want, you know, kids at the ceremony or the reception, what are some ways that they could word that on their invitation where it doesn't maybe sound, I don't know, so harsh or cold, you know, but in a nice way, like, you know, what are some ways that they can navigate that?
They're only, honestly, the only phrase that works. So it's two parts on the actual invitation. So you have an invitation suite, right? In your invitation suite, you have your invitation and then you have your details accommodations card, which is like a 3x5 or a little bit bigger than a 3x5. And that has all the details. It has travel details. That is where you put your registration information. Don't put it in your invitation paper. Like, you can put it on your details card. You put your wedding website. If you have any attire restrictions, meaning black tie, formal, cocktail attire, whatever attire you're going to put in there, any hotel, airport information, directions, but then you could also detail. So on your wedding invitation, you could say adult reception to follow. So if you're having everything at one place, you have that one address with everything on it. And at the bottom, in pretty font, bold, you put adult reception to follow. Then on your detail card is where you give your guests your detail card that's in your invitation, and your wedding website is where you give your guests the alternatives for babysitting services, what you're suggesting. It's like, okay, this is an adult reception, but we have our plan A is the kids are gonna have their own reception room with a babysitter, or you could hire a babysitter, or whatever the case may be. That is the best way to do it, is to give them, just putting on their adult reception only and leaving it like that, and not giving everybody another plan A or plan B. They're gonna be calling your phone, or they're calling your planner and asking 1,000 questions as to what am I supposed to do? I'm a bridal party member, I'm her cousin. You know, my mom, who's her aunt, is coming to the wedding. I have no one to take care of the kids. Like, those kind of questions arise. But if you say adult reception to follow, and then have, you know, suggestions to what to do on your details card, that's really simple, and your wedding website.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. If you just said adult reception to follow, it might just go over the heads of a lot of people. Either it'll go over the heads, or you're going to get bombarded with a lot of questions. So if you put that, but then you give more details, then you kind of cover yourself. And at that point, if you're still getting questions, then you could just say, well, refer to your invitation. You know, everything is there.
And there's still a call, because if you left it adult reception to follow, well, what does that mean?
Right.
And you're like, okay, well, X, Y, Z. And then if they know a lot about your wedding or your wedding plans, you will get tossed into your, you know, into your ear, because it's always on the phone. Well, such and such and such and such as babies are in the wedding. We're like, yes, they're the flower girl and the ring bearer. Oh, so you're going to have them and no one else? I mean, that is like the banter you get. And then you could talk to them and say, yeah, but they're not staying all night. You could tell them, like, this is, well, they are going to do ABC. They're going to be in the ceremony. They're going to be here. And then they're going to go off. You know, or honestly, some couples like, I don't owe you an explanation.
Yeah, true.
Like, but I always say, you know, depending on who, you know, who is calling is how you respond. You know, family member it is who's calling is how you respond. And I mean, honestly, for any planner that's listening out there, there's been plenty of times that during ceremonies and couples listening to this, that I literally, a baby was looking like about to wail, and I've tapped that parent in the shoulder and show them basically the exit, or as they're walking in with the baby in their hand or the little toddler in their hand, I let them know, it's like, hey, if anything arises during the ceremony, here's your exits. Like, I let them know, and not because the couple has said anything. Now, sometimes I've had couples say that, but I know what it's like to be a parent of a toddler who, you know, we have to be mindful that they've been traveling, their schedule is off, all those little things. And sometimes those family, you know, if I would say if they have sense enough, those parents tend to sit towards the back, because they know at any moment now, this kid might wake up, wail, whatever else, and you don't want to interrupt the ceremony, the videotaping, all that stuff. So, you know, that's always mindful too.
Yeah. And actually that happened at our wedding. We had a 3-month-old who was very well behaved. She slept through the whole thing. But when I watched the videos back, I noticed that her grandfather, because the whole family was invited, they were the best man at our wedding. So the husband and the wife and the kids, and then his parents. So the whole family was there. And they sat towards the back. One of the grandparents, you know, held her. And, you know, when I look at the video, they were in like the vestibule of the church, just walking her back and forth, you know, cradling her in their arms, just walking her back and forth. She was still like asleep, but just in case, you know, she woke up screaming, they were in the back.
just in case this kid wakes up and starts wailing. Like, you just don't know. And, you know, and part of what I do is I tell my couples, I'm like, yes, it seems annoying now, but remember, you were once a baby. Your parents had to walk out of many places, and you will be in this, if you're going to have children, you'll probably be in the same situation. So just have, you know, courtesy. Now, this happens a lot when, you know, when the couple is the last one of their friends to get married, or the last one of their cousins to get married, and there are a lot of kids before them, or they're the baby of a large family, and there's a lot of nieces and nephews. That's when it's that. But then again, it's almost like that's family at that point.
Definitely. Well, you know, also, you know, what couples may not realize is that, you know, even if you do have kids, you know, at the reception, their plate is cheaper than an adult plate. So, you know, you don't have to worry about paying full price for, you know, for all these kids, because they're going to be charged, you know, most likely at half the price.
Yeah. Chicken tenders, french fries, mac and cheese, fruit, burger sliders. I mean, the kids get, you know, or if you're having a buffet or a station, there's always something on there that they can eat that they like, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, the other scariest thing, I think, more than anything that I've probably encountered, is the kids having allergies, food allergies. So whether it's gluten or this or that. And that's the thing that to me, even before I was a parent, concerned me. So I would say, okay, you have four kids coming. Do we have any allergies? Because sometimes kids, depending how old they are, they'll get up and go to the buffet themselves. And we can't leave it the responsibility of, you know, the buffet, that the banquet attendant, to be like, hey, are you allergic to anything? Because most kids will tell you no. Because they want to eat the pizza. Exactly. Or they want to eat, you know, they want to eat the taco station or, you know, whatever it is that they may be allergic to. Or they don't know because they're too young to comprehend what that means. So that is actually, to me, that's always been scary though too, especially when we have buffets. And I'll say to the parents, when we release the table, please go with them. And I always know, you know, table five has, you know, the little boys has allergies of this, that, or another. And I know, so when I'm releasing the table, I will say to that parent, I know that Tommy is allergic to nuts. And just to let you know, on the buffet, not to eat the salad, not to eat the butternut squash, you know, ravioli that has pine nuts on it or whatever that is. And they're like, oh my gosh, thank you. Or we have a completely different plate for that kid or that adult in the kitchen. I'm like, hey, we have a plate for him or her. Don't worry about it. We'll bring it out to him when it's time. The other thing that scares me more than having them in the room is if the venue has a lake or the venue is on a main street. Because I've had it where luckily, you know, we're here in the city when we're in Atlanta. I'm like, okay, thank God we have a police officer at the door, because we've had these little kids running around all over the place. And it was like, stop them, don't go outside, you know. Or when we do bar mitzvahs, the kids want to go venture outside. Like, no, go back inside, you know.
Yeah. All those things you have to think about, you know, especially like you said, if it's an outdoor wedding and you have, you know, a lake or something, or if there's allergies, which is another reason why I highly recommend hiring a wedding planner, because that gives you a second set of eyes, somebody that you could basically just pass all the responsibility off to so you can enjoy your day. So, you know, if that's something that you know is going to concern you, you really need to invest in a wedding planner so that they can handle it and be prepared for any sort of situation that arises, because, you know, accidents can happen to kids or adults. So you know, you need to be prepared for sure.
Kids or adults. Yes, 100%.
So we've covered a lot so far, but I wanted to turn the tables back on you to see if there was anything that we missed or anything important that we haven't discussed that you think is really important for couples listening.
I just think, you know, one thing I do love about the outcome of what we've just been through this past year. I mean, now we just made a year recently, this past weekend, is that I've seen weddings go back to what they're meant to be. And it's the celebration of two people coming together, you know, to become one, what the Bible says, right? And, you know, the two people coming together, but you have to also remember that it's the coming together of two families, you know, two traditions, two everything coming together for one. And everybody wants to see you and celebrate you on this special day. And I think it's just having honest conversations with your parents, with family members, being kind in your delivery is a big thing. And then remember, and I'm having this conversation with multiple of my clients, which we're in the midst of planning for this year and for next year, is that you will probably get more yeses than nos. And so be mindful of your guest list, and just make sure that when you look putting your guest list together, that you're accounting for the entire household. So not just husband and wife, the entire household, and make, you know, make a note of, okay, they have three kids, and how old are their three kids, or how old were their three kids or two kids or one kid be when your wedding comes along, you know? So just kind of being kind. Weddings are getting, have gotten back to the true meaning of what a wedding is, which is the union of two people saying I do because they love each other and they're wanting to start their own life and their own family. And I saw that, you know, we did about 9 or 10 micro weddings last year, 7 or 8 intimate weddings. We were actually busy. So from June to December, we stayed extremely busy, you know, just helping couples say I do in a new way. And it was just so nice to see people really are being there for all the right reasons and really saying I do for all the right reasons. And so keep in mind, like, if, you know, by the time you get married, you're getting married this year or next year, it might be a year and a half, 2 years that people haven't had a family reunion, haven't, you know, traveled for Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduation. So when you're getting married, everyone's coming. So I tell people, you know, typically I would say 80% of your guests will say yes. I'm planning for like 90 to say yes, 90%.
So before we end the show, I do this with all my guests and I do the fun 5 questions. So these are just 5, you know, really fun questions that I like to ask just to kind of get to know you a little bit better. So my first question is, how did you get into this field of work?
So when I was like 21, 22 in college, I had a girlfriend that ran off. Well, she went to go visit her boyfriend. He was in the military and she came back married. So she basically eloped, right. And when she came home, I was like, you did what? I was like, we're a little Catholic schoolgirl girl. Like, what are you doing? No. And I used to, like, before that, I'm like, do people really do that? Because we've only seen it on TV. Like, I'm like, do people really do that? And she's like, yes. And the moms, his mom and her mom, you know, of course they found out and the cat was out the bag and they basically planned a wedding. At that point was a renewal, really. And I was like, well, you're renewing your vows. So they made her get a dress and they had it at the country club. It was this whole thing. And she was like, I need your help. And I was like, you need my help? And she's like, and at that point I was doing a lot of planning, a lot of events on campus. And I was like, what do you mean you need my help? You know, we're like 20, 21 years old. And she's like, I said, no, I don't know how to plan a wedding. I've been to like maybe a couple of weddings as a kid. And she's like, well, you know how to plan events. And I was like, yeah. She was like, it's an event with a girl in a dress, in a white dress. And I joke with her. I was like, well, I don't know if it's going to be white because you're already married. Like, you know, that old wives tale that you would hear as a kid. Yeah. And she's like, so I helped with that one. And that was the first one. And I did it for years for friends here and there. And, you know, I became a corporate event planner by day after college. And I did social and nonprofit planning by night and on weekends as a volunteered. And then, you know, about 13 years ago, I moved to Atlanta and I worked for about 3 or 4 different hotels. And then the last hotel had different plans and they released me, or like my husband says, God released you, because I wasn't supposed to be there. And so I started my company 8 years ago. Last November was 8 years. Yes. And I haven't looked back. It's been great. It truly is what I feel is my gift. It's the only thing in my life that doesn't stress me out. Being a business owner is stressful, like learning that CEO journey. Being a mother, my husband jokes and says, you know, you can plan an event for thousands of people and never once look stressed, not freak out, not yell. He said, but these kids, I was like, yes, because at work, when I tell everybody go left, they go, how far left, Irene? At home, I say go left and everybody goes right.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and I've been a planner for 20 something years and a mom for 12.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, so that's been me. And, you know, you know, we pivoted a little bit last year and it's been great. We're still standing. We have a good amount of weddings on the books this year and starting to pick up for next year.
Nice. I love to hear people's origin stories and how they got started. And I think that's so cool. Like, you know, how you just started with basically your friend just saying, I need your help, and, you know, look at where it led you. So it's amazing. So my next question is, you know, you touched on it a little bit, but what is the best part about your job?
Honestly, I think the best part of my job is catching their idea of what this day is going to be like, their vision, how they want to feel, like hearing their words, putting all the work in, connecting them with all the best you know, creative partners that I have and they're the best in the area that fit them and fit their needs and their budgets. And then seeing their look on their face when it's actually come to fruition, because basically it's like Monopoly, Felicia. Like you're talking, you're putting money out and you're like hypothetically speaking about decor, and you visually see, you might be able to see the floral samples and you see the linen samples and you see the utensils and you taste the food, but it's all these little jigs, pieces that you're building. And then on wedding day, you're like, oh, this is what all these conversations were about. And my favorite has to be the groom, because it, you know, some men, you know, some grooms are like, they check out and they're like, whatever she wants, I'll take. But we really kind of, one of the things is my superpower is that we tell our brides and our couples, you're not marrying yourself. There's somebody you're walking down to the aisle with, right? And so, you know, for my brides and grooms, I'm like, we kind of include him in the process, and to see his face and to get that, we do a lot of room reveals before the guests come in. And I just love to see the groom like, oh, it makes sense. Oh my gosh. Now I see what you're talking about. Because, you know, truth be told, they stay really quiet because they are clueless to what you're saying. We had a groom, we were talking about chargers, which for most women and most event industry people, they know a charger is a plate that goes on the table, it's a fancy plate, they're pretty, pretty. And it's kind of like, I always say it's a placemat, basically, right? A fancy placemat. And I heard we actually have a groom's concierge on staff who's a guy, they were kind of behind us. But as a mother and as a true planner, I hear all conversations that are going on all at once. That's what I'm called to do. And I hear him say, are we giving everybody a phone charger as a favor? Like he was just, and they just don't know. And sometimes brides are like, how you not know that? He doesn't know that. Like they, and let's truth be told, not every girl knows either about everything that goes into doing a wedding, right? It doesn't matter. So I think it's just seeing their faces or their reaction of how everything that they've planned for, everything, the arguments, the misunderstandings, you know, the negotiating that was done, how it all comes together. And it's like, oh, and you know, and to me, the ceremony is the hardest part. It's like getting you married, and the rest of it is a piece of cake. I'm like, man, once I get you down the aisle, I exhale a couple different times. I exhale once the cake gets delivered, because that's the thing that's scary. Because that's one thing that's hard to replace on a whim's notice. When I walk her down, you know, when I send her the couples down the aisle and they've done, I do. And then when they do the room reveal, because it's like, you want them to love it, you know, you want them to love it as much as they loved it on paper.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so funny, you know, hearing you talk about the story about the charger. When we were registering for wedding gifts, you know, I said to my husband, I was like, oh, we should get a duvet cover. He's like, a do what? I'm like, a duvet cover. He's like, what in the world is that? I'm like, well, you have like the comforter and then you have like the cover that goes over the comforter. He's like, then why don't we just get a comforter that has a cover on it already? I'm like, yeah, that's not how that works. Like you can, but that's not what, you know, that's not.
That's not how I want it. You can do that, but that's not the one I want.
Exactly.
The pattern that I want is in the duvet cover, not in the comforter.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so funny.
Pillows on the bed. It's like that. My husband's like, "Why do we have so many pillows?" Because it's pretty.
And exactly. That's all you need to know. It's pretty.
I like it. That's it.
So, you know, my next question is, you know, because you've done so many weddings over the years, what's been like the most memorable, funny, or like maybe even like odd experience that you remember from one of the weddings that you've done?
I was just actually telling my husband these stories recently, and we've had situations where we've protected our grooms, because we had one situation where the groom, his groomsmen all met at his apartment and they all Ubered together to the venue and they're all hanging out. And, you know, I typically have the guys get dressed about 45 minutes to an hour if it's all in the same building, because, you know, if they're hanging out. So about an hour before the ceremony or before guests were starting to arrive, I started having them get dressed. So then I get summoned to this particular venue, had a cellar where the guys hung out. So I get summoned to the cellar, and there's like, you know, these 6 foot, 7 foot, like I call them, like beautiful boys, because they were just all young and gorgeous. They're like, Miss Irene, this is the groom. He pointed at one of his groomsmen, left his tie, his socks, and his shoes back at the apartment. I was like, but you weren't getting dressed there. He was just like, and literally he had no answer. He kind of like shrugged his shoulder. Like, I'm like, he looked 10 at that moment. Right. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, we have 45 minutes before the start of everything. And so I grabbed one of my assistants who knew this area, and the groom lived in Buckhead, and we were in Midtown. And I said, okay, she knows Buckhead really well. And he was like, okay, but to get her car out of the garage, he's like, I'll pay for an Uber. So we put her in an Uber. He gives her the key code pad to get in the house, forgets to tell her that he has a gigantic dog. Like, oh, I even forgot that he had the dog. And so she gets, and as she's pushing in the button, she hears the dog. Luckily, the girl knows she had a dog. Uh-huh. So she puts him on speakerphone so he could calm the dog down. And this whole entire time, we're cracking up, because at this point, they've had a few shots. At this point, I'm like, I could do nothing but laugh along with them, because it's not going to help anyways. So we're cracking up. He's talking to the dog. He calms the dog down. She gets the shirts and gets everything that he got left behind, makes it back. Luckily, there was like a game or something going on in town, so the traffic was a little heavy. So we told the bride that we were delaying because the room wasn't full. Wasn't all not true, because we were still missing at least 20 or 30 people. We were missing them because they were in traffic.
Right.
Because people were text messaging me, I'm on the corner, I just can't get to the garage, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the garage owner was sending me messages about, you know, I'm trying to make room, whatever. And so we started 15 minutes late, but we still were fine, because I always built a ton of cushion in our timeline. So then when she gets there, I mean, she is like beet red. She's goes in the back door. It's hilarious. And I tell them, it's like an SNL skit or like Hangover. Like, you just don't believe that this is going to happen. She brings in and she's like huffing and puffing. They're cracking up. So anyway, so the wedding happens, everything else. And I looked at my groom and I said, and all the groomsmen, I said, this will stay between these four walls, all of us standing here and the Lord above. This is between us. And they laughed. I said, my groom, I was like, can these men hold secrets? They're like, yes. And I'm like, okay, so no one knows. Bride no wiser. 3 or 4 weeks later, my assistant is in Buckhead at a festival. And she hears her name called, you know, across the way, and she turns around and it's our couple. And they come over to her, they hug and kiss her, they thank her for everything. And then the bride starts laughing, goes, he told me what happened. And because Alexa was like, I wasn't going to say anything. She was like, I'm going to just stay quiet. Yeah. And then they bought her a shot and a couple of drinks, and they like had a good time. And so that to me, I always love those moments, because it all works out, right? In the midst of it, you know, and I've had a few things where like, oh my gosh, she told me not to forget that. I almost forgot it, or I forgot it. I had one groom who, he was like, I did not want to forget the marriage license. So he put it in the glove compartment of the car, but then decided to Uber and forgot. And he's like, we've realized the minister gets there. He asked for the marriage license, and the bride goes, oh, he has it. The groom has it. So he goes over there, and the groom is like, Irene. And I'm like, oh, this is not happening again. So it's like, again, we sent an assistant in her car, because it wasn't too crazy, to get there. And when she's on her way there, he remembers that he forgot something for the guest book table that he thought was in the car. So then she gives him, luckily he had a keypad for the house. I mean, just, and again, I was like, listen, sworn to secrecy. This is between us. We're like spies like us. And they're like, and you know, eventually they share with the bride and the bride. And I said, always do it at your honeymoon on the way there. Don't do it the night of the wedding. Like, you know, and some things stay between us and nobody knows. And I mean, those are my favorite. Like, I just think like in the moment you're like, but then you come up with the solution, figure it out, and laugh about it later.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so funny that you mentioned the marriage license, because that happened to me. I was the one that forgot it. It was in a drawer in my house. And I was in, like, we needed it the day of the rehearsal. And right. I was so flustered that day. And right. I was, like, you know, so, like, nervous and everything. And I left the house. And we got to the church. And the priest was like, okay, where's the marriage license? And I'm like, oh. And I like literally like I could feel my face like turning all red. Like everybody there was like looking at me like they knew I was in trouble. I was like, oh my God. And so the priest turns to my husband. He's like, make sure you get it from her today and you bring it tomorrow.
Right. You got to give something up. Like sometimes like exactly. I tell my friends like it's some, and it's a lot, but it's one of those things. It's like conversations. Like if my couples are, you know, I always say, if we're having the wedding at a hotel, just move into the hotel. Like, just move in. for the weekend. And I'm like, during the week, do you have that packed? Is it in there? Where is it at? Like, and it's kind of like a constant reminder, but things happen. Like you're saying, your nerves are firing at all cylinders. You have all these family things. There's always some kind of drama, good or bad. You know, there's always something going on. You know, it's a lot.
And it was so funny because I was like, no, I will hold on to it because I am responsible. I'm a responsible adult. I'll take care of it. I'll keep it in a safe place. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I'm like, darn it. I'm like,
no, you kept it safe. You just didn't bring it with you.
Exactly. Oh, it was safe. All right. Yeah. Like nothing was touching it, but it wasn't in my hand. That's for sure. So, you know, you mentioned that, you know, doing weddings is actually the one thing in your life that doesn't cause you a lot of stress or anything like that. So what are some ways that you unwind and relax when you're not planning weddings?
Well, you know, I love to travel. I love the beach. That's one of those things. I always look forward to the rest after the long stints. Like, you know, the next 2 or 3 weeks are really busy. And then I'll take some time off because it's Easter. And then, I'll take some days off here and there with the kids. But, you know, lately, you know, we've had more Saturdays at home than I think I've had in the last, at least the last 12, 13 years. I've had more Saturdays at home recently. But when I am home, I like hanging out, of course, with the kids. I love to shop, even though I don't shop as much as I used to. I do love to shop. And it's even if I'm just browsing Target and getting things here and there and spending $100.
Yeah, that's relaxing. You never go to Target to just get one thing.
Kids and I went last week on Friday. It's like, that's like our adventure. Like, uh-huh. It's funny, this generation, it's like, Target is like going to the mall. Like when I was a kid, let's go to the mall. Like, can we go to Target? Like, they don't ask about any other, Target and Chick-fil-A are the two places that they, that's their places to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, hanging out with them, of course, but then honestly, to decompress, I love watching TV. And some people are like, that is a waste of time. But I do. I love watching TV. My favorite channel is Hallmark. I love Hallmark. I can watch those movies over and over. And they're feel-good movies. I have quite a few reality show TV shows that I watch that, you know, I think I watch majority of The Housewives. You know, and I have because I've been a fan from the beginning, but there's some that I don't even watch anymore. Like I don't watch Orange County. I can't watch Dallas.
There's one that's based in Atlanta, isn't it?
There's one in Atlanta. I watched that one because, hey, that's in our neighborhood. Like that's here. I watched Atlanta, New York, and New Jersey religiously. And I also started watching the Salt Lake City one, which is funny. And I love, and I could watch it over and over, is the Fixer Upper. Anything with Joanna and Chip Gaines. I love their spirits and their hearts. And my daughter and I watch, we could watch the same ones over and over and cry when they reveal people's houses. You know, there's a couple of them, like as a family, that we've watched together. And every time, like, so everyone's like, that was good. That was good. You know, that kind of thing. And just, you know, honestly, you know, my husband is we're great friends more than anything too. And we just like hanging out together and chatting and talking and planning for the future. So I just definitely just like hanging out. The older I've gotten, the more chill I like to get. Cause when I was younger, I was like, what is rest? Yeah, you know, like, exactly. going. Now I'm like, well, you know, I have to rest a little bit more so that I could be on when I need to be on.
Exactly. Yeah. The rest is very underrated, but very much needed. Exactly. So my last question for you is, if you could plan a wedding for any celebrity, who would it be and why?
Oh my goodness. Somebody just asked me this question and it's going to be, who knows, because it's in the room with me. So I was born and raised in the Bronx, right? 3 train stops away from the Yankee Stadium. So I tell people I am a Southern Yankee because I grew up half up north and half in the South. So, but I will always bleed blue and white because that's just, I'm a Yankees fan.
Me too.
And someone, we were just talking, one of my planner girlfriends, and I was like, I would love to give anything. Even I would even do it pro bono. And I know people are like, what? Don't do that. Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez.
Oh,
and who
knows
if they're together? What's going on? If they're doing the conscious uncoupling thing, who knows?
Yeah.
But I said, I was like, he's an, you know, retired Yankees player and she's from the Bronx. And I said, I would just love, you know, both Latin. I would just love to plan their wedding.
So we are all out of time, but before I let you go, where can people find out more about you? Where can they see you on social?
Sure. So my planning company is on Instagram. It's iTyndale Events. or you could follow my coaching, teaching, education personal page, which is Irene Tyndale. That's on Instagram. And our website is IreneTyndale.com. And, you know, follow along.
Nice. Well, I will put all that in the show notes. So if anybody, you know, listening would like to contact you, all that information will be there. And Irene, I just want to thank you so much for your time today and for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat. And, you know, this was a great episode. And I think this will be really helpful for couples, you know, who are at that point in the planning where they're trying to decide whether or not to include kids in the wedding. This is going to be really helpful for them. So thank you so much for your time. And it was a pleasure chatting with you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Okay, that was quite the show. I hope you took notes or will come back to listen to this again, because Irene basically just covered every possible situation you could think of and what to do for every situation. So again, if you've found this show helpful, please share it, tag some friends who might be interested in hearing it, and definitely leave a review so that you can help others find the show, which helps me, and you can let them know how it's been helping you so that you can help them in the process. Also, don't forget about the great partnership we have going with LoveStream. They will help you seamlessly live stream your wedding. So if you go to lovestream.io and use a code WEDCONNECTHV10, you'll get 10% off any live streaming package of your choosing. As always, you can follow us on Instagram at WedConnectHV. And if you're a Hudson Valley bride or groom, you can join us on WeddingConnectionsHV.com for a ton of local planning inspiration. So until next time, happy planning.